It's chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. Go ahead and stand it for a moment so you can stretch, and we'll read just 11 verses here. But in Exodus chapter number 15, we're looking at what the Bible called the Song of Moses. And look at the subject today: who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? With a title like that, you know I couldn't preach the whole message, right? So I'm asking you to pray. Would you pray as you listen that God will stop me at the right appointed time? Because I don't want to try to cram in too much information because it's so good. And so I really mean this every week. I really don't want to be any direction, but any time except on God's time. But I really, knowing what going through my mind about this thought, I really pray that you pray as you listen that God will really stop me at the appointed time. And basically, you know, we're looking really, as we think about who is like unto God, you know, the Bible says God is holy, you know, and sometimes, you know, and I was meditating this week on the holiness of God, and really what we're going to look at is really how that impacts the believer. Because sometimes we think of just the holiness of God as that he's so distant from us, but I hope you'll see today that holiness is what it makes him thrilling to be a part of your life. And we'll see some things, I hope, that will strengthen and encourage your faith in God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depth have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumeth them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. That's what Satan says to you and every try to do right. I'll overtake you. That's what the enemy said. I will divide the spoil. So I'm going to take the best of your life, Satan says, and I'm going to use it for myself and enjoy it. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Still, the message of Satan to you. He says he'll destroy you. But he didn't understand who is like unto God. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty sea. Pardon me, in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And God had a blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. You know, what amazing passage, what amazing question. And questions like this, if we really start to contemplate them, they can really help us to really trust God. Everything about our lives, one of the most powerful passages in the Word of God is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Simple passage, simple command, but seemingly sometimes so hard to do. And because we need to answer the question, who is like unto thee? Now, there's several things you could think about, but the question is saying, who is like God? Who can God be? Several other passages say, what can God be compared to? And as you think about, and what I want to cause you to think about as we look at different scriptures this morning,
is that basically there's no one like God. If you've heard me preach any time at all, if you heard me say that I love when the Bible says that there is none else, that there's none else, there's none else. There's no one else like God. And when we think about who is like unto God, there's everything we need in life. Everything that we would even think would be a blessing or benefit to us, God shows us that there's no one like him. His holiness moves him so much higher to a realm where you really can't compare the two. If I were to take a grain of sand and I would to wonder for a moment, I wonder how this compares to Mars. Well, you know what? Mars is so distant. Mars is so far away that I can't even begin to think about what Mars looks like in comparison to a grain of sand. Because of the magnitude of the distance and the greatness of Mars compared to the sand. Even the Earth itself. I can't really see the Earth, though I'm in it, though I walk upon it every day. I really can't sense the magnitude of the Earth because I'm right here in it. I think that's true with God sometimes. The Bible says that Christ is in the believer. And I think sometimes him, even though he's right in us, even though we're grounded, even we can't sense the magnitude of what he really is. And we just kind of get kind of used to it. And we don't. And when it comes to trusting him, sometimes we have a few difficulties. Well, hope you, first thing I want you to know is number one. And I just prayed and asked God to give me some things about God today. And I put number one, who is like unto thee in fatherhood? Who is like unto thee in fatherhood? I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 11 just for a moment. Luke chapter 11, the Lord was speaking to me about some different things this week, and I thank God for his voice. Man, God is an amazing God. Anybody ever heard from God before? isn't it amazing when God tells you something that you know just came from him? And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, what do you think God wants you to do? And they said it, and I said, isn't that great? Because you know God told you to do that. And I said, that should tell you right now the hope that God has in you, the love that he has for you, because you know what you just said. That was not my suggestion. That was not my idea. That came directly from the personal God of heaven. Amen. So, and in Luke chapter 11, now the disciples here, well, let's read it and we'll stop. And in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. Now, if you look at your Bible, you know the next two words, Our Father. Now, I want you to think about, and this just hit me this week, and I hope this is good for you as it is for me. But I think, now, the disciples have a legitimate question. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And anybody know, is it difficult to pray as much as you should sometimes besides me? Anybody ever struggle with trying to pray as much as they should? All right. And they're saying, teach us to pray, not how to pray, Lord. They're saying, Lord, teach us to pray because we need to pray. We ought to pray. And the Bible's meant, in fact, the Bible said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, I think verse number one. And God, through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in answer to their question, he's going to give them some direction to teach them to pray. And of everything he could have wrote down eternally in the Word of God, he said that the first thing I want you to think about in teaching to pray, the first mandate, the first thing that I need you to grasp and understand in prayer so that you will pray is that when you began to address me, he didn't say, oh, great Holy One. And he didn't even say, oh, great master of the universe. And he is those things, by the way. He didn't say the almighty, the omnipotent, all powerful. No, he said, I'm going to give you something to say so that when you put things in perspective, you will see me in a way so that when you talk to me, it will not just be some religious exercise. It will not just be something that you do just because you're supposed to do it. He said, I'm going to give you a way to address me so that when you talk to me, you will see me in a light so that you will pray. And he says, say, Our Father. Because he wants us to think about who is like thee, who is like God in fatherhood. We can't compare God to anybody.
and any earthly father. That's sometimes we get confused. You know, one of the blessings sometimes, I don't really like to travel, but sometimes I do when I go preach somewhere. But it's nice when I come home and all my children, they have busy schedules anyway. But it's something about when either they're out of town, I'm out of town. Sometimes when I come home, they just want to talk to their father. And it ain't like anything new goes on, but they just come in and they just want to talk to me. And that's a blessing. And God, as he speaks to his disciples, as he speaks to you today, as he thinks about the reference of who he is, there's none like him. He said, now, when the next time you bow your knee to pray, he is the Lord. There's none else like him. But he said, the first thing I want you to embrace, the first thought I want to captivate your mind, the first thought of everything that you say unto me, I want you to realize, I want you to say, our Father. Our Father. And I want you, and now you think about him being Father in light of the holiness of God. There's no Father like him. Now, God points out something about himself regarding his goodness. As we read the rest of his passage, he said, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, as you go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. Pardon me, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Okay, because God, who is likened to God, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Who is like him in fatherhood? He said, if an evil earthly father will give his own son bread or give his own son an egg, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit than ask him? Turn back a few books to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We see the same thought reiterated here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 8. Matthew 7, verse 8, it says, we'll start in verse 7, Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? There's no one like God in fatherhood. How much more? So what Jesus is taking the excerpt on the father on a good day. He's pointing out a father doing good things. So if you think about an earthly father on a good day, in the best light you can see them in, Jesus says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask him? And if you think about that, when you talk to God, when you want to pray, when you want to meet God, when you want to walk with God, when you need to walk with God and you need to call him on his name, you think about him as your Father.
And if you cast that in the light of his holiness, of the magnitude of how great he is, how beyond comprehension, how beyond compare, how in everything that he is, it'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you trust God. It'll change the way that if you really believe in the fatherhood of God, that he gives good gifts unto his children. Now what? He gave you life. You know, I was talking to Samuel the other day, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, lack of faith really doesn't make sense. Can anybody here tell me what heartbeat number you're on right now? For just the last 5 minutes. What heartbeat number? Samuel said 3,497. How about the number of hairs on your head? Not the number, but the number. If I snatch one of your hairs, can you tell what number it is? I mean, anybody. I mean, but you know what? Your Heavenly Father knows. That's how close he knows you. And there's nobody like him. And when you think about the depth of how much he knows you, and I mean, you think, why would he know that? Because he knows everything about you. You know, one of the things that I haven't quite mastered, every time I preach them, I always think, how much am I really listening to my children? And but my Father knows everything about me. He knows my fears. He knows my concerns. He knows my struggles. The Bible says his ears are open unto my cry. But he's all those things. Is how much more your Father knows you. And Isaiah 54, I want you to see something about our Father. Actually, Isaiah 54. And this was good. I was thinking about this. Sometimes we have such a condemning view of God oftentimes. But I was thinking, you know, in Isaiah 54, in verse 17, powerful passage if you're a child of God. You know, I was thinking about, Israel is a perfect example of God's love and compassion, you know. And somebody asked me this morning, you know, about saying God changed and different things and how that, well, in the Old Testament, they had many wives, but now you just have one in the New Testament. And I was thinking, you know, how do you answer that? Well, I mean, and I thought about this, you know, now Israel is the example of God's compassion. You know, we see it in them. You know, an earthly father, believe it or not, even if you have a stern father, he doesn't correct absolutely everything that you do wrong. Some things he just kind of lets go. So you see some compassion there. And you see that, and he's just giving you a chance. And we see in Israel a lot of things that they just were allowed to do. And then in the New Testament, Jesus said, well, this is how it is. And I thought about that. And here's God our Father. And in verse 17 of Isaiah 54, he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now catch this. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me. Now God said, now he's talking about his own people here. He said, the tongues that rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And for some reason this thought came to my mind. I was thinking about, and I've mentioned this before, how, you know, through the years, of course, working with youth, in some difficult situations. I've been to youth jail and seen 12-year-olds that shot people. And I mean, you see these 12-year-olds that just look like cute, sweet little boys. And you think, man, and you find that they're there for weapons charges. And they shot maybe a relative or something like that. And you think, and you're looking at this kid, is this the same boy? And you think, well, how is this happening? You know, and I've been in a few situations where, you know, there's like a well-known person in the neighborhood that was an offender. And everybody knew it. The neighborhood knew it. And the mother knew it. And then... that child get killed or that child be brought to court, and that mother defends that child as if that's the greatest child that ever walked the face of the earth. And I used to think in my mind, how can you know what your boy did? But the mother said, that's my boy. That's my boy. And you know that for the child of God, that when God is your father, you know, when he sees, because of the merits of the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, we do some bad things after we sin, unfortunately. I wish every single one of us were perfect for the moment of the new birth took place. But if it happens for you, would you let me know the secret? It hadn't happened for me yet. But you know, my father,
You know, my Father sees me through his own righteousness. And in even on my worst day as his child, you know what he sees? He sees himself. Because his righteousness is of himself. My righteousness is of him. It says that in Isaiah, the righteousness is of me. And what a marvelous, glorious thought that is. You think about that because... And recently I had a little Holy Ghost chill. I was thinking about that and my own kids sometimes, except with the negative, this is impossible for God. Of course, I can see sometimes when I want to get frustrated with my kids, I can see my negative side in them if they've done something wrong. But what happens is I see me in them, and it causes me to endear them, be endeared to them, rather than be frustrated with them. That means I don't correct some of the things. But our Father, when he sees us, once you've been born again, he said, that's my child. Because from the moment he sees us, he said, that's my son. Tell you, this is getting gooder. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. There's nothing like our Father. This is good because you feel God even provided some distractions in the hallway. I mean, that God knows what he's doing. I mean, God didn't provide it. Satan provided. So he wants to get your mind lost. But Luke chapter 15, this is the parable, the story. And the Bible says, the print up top says the parable, but there's nothing really in the context that says it is a parable. Because it says a certain man, that kind of sounds like that's a real person. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto him his living. So he gave them both the portion. The younger son said, I know I have some privileges because you're my father. I want them. Give them to me. He said, he gave them to him because father gives good gifts unto his children. Amen. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. Here's our father. Because he's trying to teach us. I should have kept the context. Verse 10, it talks about the magnitude of God's joy of repentance. He said, verse 10, likewise, I send you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then God tells us about this story. And he says, but when he was away, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he had compassion. And his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, this is a pretty good solid picture because you understand this now. This guy was feeding hogs. And at the moment he saw him, now he knew. You know, he could say, well, he could have sat there. Like, oh, well, it was about time he came to his senses. Hope he's straightened up. No, because his father knew he was coming home. And his father, when he saw him, he said, that's my son. He didn't say, that's my rebel. He didn't say, that's my heathen. He didn't say, that's my son. He didn't even say, that's my backslider. He didn't say, that's the one that just wanted me for my good stuff. No, he said, that's my son. And God's trying to tell us about himself. That's the father. He's, and he sees him, and he runs to him and he fell on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. In verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy father. But the father said, now this is amazing, I just caught this. He didn't address any of that. The father said to his servants, he said, bring forth the best robe. How much more shall Heavenly Father give good gifts? What was the son asking for? The son was he's just wanting mercy. You heard the son's heart. If I could just be a servant with my father, it'd be all right. But he said, my father's hired servants are living better than me. And he comes home, and the father said this, and he said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know, you ever say this as a parent, or you may have said this in life. Somebody says something, and like, how did that go? Or that you may say that's such a ridiculous comment. You're not even going to address it, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? That's a similar expression. You know that somebody says something silly. You know, you don't even. It's so absolutely preposterous that you don't even address what was said. You act like they said nothing. And if you catch the glory of this to the Father, it was so absolutely ridiculous what this son was saying, that he's no more worthy to be called his son. He didn't even address it. Amen. He just said, "Hey, bring the best robe." He said, "Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Whew. He was in bad shape. I mean, he was in bad shape. But, you know, I wonder, he put the robe on. I wonder what his clothes looked like by the time he got home. Now, if he's out there taking care of hogs and so bad he's eating hog food, I mean, they probably weren't generous giving him any clothes either. He wasted all his substance, the Bible said. He didn't have shoes. Whew. And the fathers ran upon him. That's who is like thee in fatherhood. There's nobody like God. And bring hither the fatted calf. He said, my son is hungry. He said, my son is hungry. They said, well, he didn't say, well, let's start him off here and let's see how serious he is and let's see how much. Oh, he said, just bring the fatted calf. My son's hungry. I love my son. I want him to have the best. And he said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to make merry. You know, sometimes when you get away from God, you don't want to come back to him because you're just afraid. But don't. I want you to understand there's no one like God in fatherhood. You know, if you just make that, just make that turn, the moment the Father sees you, he's coming, he's running. Because there's nobody like him. See, God is not like us, because as an earthly father, you know, if I were in a situation, you know, I might want to protect myself so I don't get hurt again or things like that. Or maybe you've ever done that and somebody hurt you and they're trying to get back in the graces with you and you don't want to be hurt again. So you kind of put up this wall to protect yourself. There's nobody like God in fatherhood. God, that's not a consideration. It's my son. It's my daughter. It's my child. I see them because I can see them. Now that I can see them, I can do what I always planned to do for the moment I conceive them. I can love them. There's nobody like God. There's nobody like thee in fatherhood, because he made me to love me. And the more, as long as I have breath, as long as opportunity, everything, every time he sees me, it's opportunity to love me. Even if I, to his shame, run from him, use his substance for myself and waste it all. If I turn back and he sees me, he runs to do what he meant to do from the beginning of time. Follow me and love me. There's nobody like thee in fatherhood. 1 Peter chapter 1. So next time you pray, say, Our Father. Our Father. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. verse number 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3.
Blessed be thee, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Father here. Blessed be thee, God and Father, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. So we were begotten again. We were born again. He's speaking to his children right now in this passage. We were begotten again. How? By our good deeds? No. By our great glowing Christian testimony? No. We were born again. Notice what it says here. According to his abundant mercy hath he begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Now catch it. Now this will help you if you'll let it. It helps me. Because I'm okay. You're how many? What do you say by according? Pardon?
Grace.
Amen. Grace. So you can't do enough to get grace, right? You're saved by grace through faith. The Bible says so. We're saved by grace, and according to this passage here, grace and mercy are so similar together. I don't really know how to completely distinguish the two, you know, because they're, you know, God gives grace and he extends mercy. I mean, mercy seems to be something you ask for, but and grace is just given. Grace was given by Jesus Christ because Jesus came to a people that never asked for it. Salvation comes when, according to God's abundant mercy, when we ask for it, we still don't deserve it, but according to his abundant mercy, he gives it because there's nothing we can do to qualify for the grace that he already gave, and there's nothing we can do to deserve the mercy. So he gives us the mercy and he gives us the grace, and we're born again according to his abundant mercy. So we're saved. If you're a child of God today, if you were born again, it's not because of how good you are or how great you are. You're born again by the grace and mercy of God. And guess what? You're kept by that same thing. So if the Bible is true, thank you, and it is, if you're saved by the grace of God today, that mercy that you could not do to deserve yourself, you don't keep your salvation by doing good deeds. You love your Father because you recognize you love your Father. You keep his commandments because you say, man, my Father loves me. Because he loves me, I want to do something for him, but you don't do it out of a cowardly thing that God's going to change his view about me. Don't we see through the prodigal son that the Father's view of the son never changed? He loved him the whole entire time. God's view and his love and his compassion for his son did not change all those times, those moments he's away from him. And so the Bible says we're kept by our Father, but we're kept through the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. If we think about that, that means this relationship with God as my Father doesn't change. Now, I can distance myself from him, but his love and his compassion and his commitment to his own fatherhood doesn't change one bit with him, with me. God will always be everything to me as a father. Because the fact that I'm his child, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God not only saves us and gives us and makes and becomes our Father, he keeps us through fatherhood. And see, this will free in now. Who is like thee? Who's like that? Nobody like that. And see, in the event that if you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, that you fall sometimes, old Satan will accuse you and you, man, how could I ever become what God wants me to be? Well, you don't have to become anything. You're his child. This is the joy of the new birth experience. See, that performance-based reality is over. You're his child. Nothing changes that. He just says, draw nigh unto God, and I'll draw nigh unto you. You know, we don't, and by that token, and I don't know, it's pretty neat thing to see the Father put the robe on that son, came home, amen. Put a ring on him, killed the fatted calf, amen. That's good stuff, you know, I mean, and just the Father's expression of love, stuff he would have had the whole time, except for the kid, I guess, according to what the other son said. But he had everything else. I mean, the Father. There's nobody like God in fatherhood.
You need to get closer to God. Stop and think about what you're saying when you say our Father. There's nobody like the Father. Nobody loves like Him. Nobody is anything like He is. There's nobody compares to Him. So when you think about, man, so the Christian life is like, I got to pray. If I don't pray, God's going to be mad at me. No, God loves you. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to pray so He can share His will with you. And since there's nobody, if an earthly father can give good gifts unto his children, then the heavenly Father has good gifts for His children beyond scope and magnitude of anything we could ever possibly conceive. Who is like thee in fatherhood? Nobody. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in that prayer, in Luke chapter 11, he also says something. In the prayer, he says, lead us not to temptation, deliver me from evil. And I was thinking about that. You know, again, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we say, Lord, deliver me from evil thoughts. Deliver me from evil mindset. Deliver me from evil desires. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Because, you know, can I tell you the truth? God already knows our thoughts and our desires when they are evil anyway. So why hide and not talk to Him as if he's in the very base of everything, He wants you to come to Him as Father. Your Father. And your Father will see in your secrets reward thee openly. Who is like unto thee in fatherhood? Nobody's like Him. Second thing I'd like you to notice, and really go still with this, Father, who is like unto thee in compassion? Because we read right here that, you know, we're saved according to the abundant mercy and grace of God. There's nobody who is like unto thee. We think about God in His compassion. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Compassion. Lamentation, if you find Jeremiah, it should be after Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Well, actually, no, it's not. Where is it? It's right before it. Somebody help me out. I'm brain cramp. Is it after Jeremiah? Yeah, Lamentations. Okay. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Compassion is a word that means a suffering with another and means painful sympathy. Now, Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21. It says here, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the God, for the salvation of the Lord. Now, he says here, okay, this is what I recall to mind. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. In verse 23, it's a pretty powerful verse, you think about it. His compassions, he says, they're new every morning. You know, that means God's compassion every morning is like a fresh start. It's not like, you know, if you ever had to deal with somebody and compassion, it's not like, oh, here we go again. No, God's compassions are new every morning. You know, every morning it's fresh and it's alive. And you know why? Because He's suffering. The Bible, compassion means a suffering with another. That's what the Bible said, we need to bear one another's burdens. And it says, remember them in bonds as though bound with them. That's only, you know, that's part of what gives you a real compassion for lost people. You don't realize they're bound, you know. Just because they're smiling on the outside and may have good things, you know, they're bound. And you ever been lost in dark and didn't even know it? And then you realize God showed you something like, wow, I was so foolish, you know. And just wait till you get my age. Just looking back some of your clothes when you get old, when you were young, then you realize, oh man, how foolish was I?
but now everything I used to wear is coming back in style. So, but I'm just saying, you were bound in not just that, but just different things. Like, wow, how foolish was I? And I didn't even know it. The lost world that seemed so confident and so sure of themselves, they're bound and headed toward a devil's hell. They aren't even aware of it. They think they're really living life and they have no idea, comprehension. But God says here, Jeremiah says, I have hope because of the Lord's mercies. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and put this in context here and put it in a hopeful understanding. Hebrews chapter 4. If you think about who is likened to thee in compassion. You know, actually, I'm going to stop. The Lord said that I'm not supposed to go any more beyond his fatherhood. And so I want you to just continue to meditate on the fatherhood of God. Because God said that's all for today. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, you're such a great Father. God, would you manifest, could you use your Holy Spirit now to make clear and to bring to life the thoughts and take us back to your fatherhood, Lord. And just, God, it is very true that there's no one like you. God, I thank you that when you saved me, although it is a fact that you are the Lord, although it is a fact that you are Creator God, although it is a fact that you are the Almighty, although it is a fact that you said the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers, and though it is a fact that you said all the nation before you are as a drop in a bucket, your desire is that when I approach you, and you said that I'm to always pray. So your desire is that in my being obedient to you and coming to you continually and always praying, your desire is that my first thought when I come to you is that I would see you as my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your perfect love. Thank you for being a father like none other. And thank you for just your ultimate mercy and grace that you delivered. Lord, I know I can't really be like you, but as I think about you this morning, help me to be a better father. God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy on my children and my father. Thank you that for a love so indescribable, And so great that it just drives me to want to just do everything you ask me to do. Father, I love you so much. Thank you so much for loving me. And Lord, I just think of so many years that even as I tried to love you, I just didn't realize how much you really loved me. Now I realize that all your commands were just so you could love me more. I used to serve you so many years trying to keep you in love with me. And Father, your love for me has been proven from the foundation of the world. And you've proven it to be unshakable because there's no one like thee in love. You told me that you are the Lord, you change not. And you're perfect in holiness and even glorious in holiness, as we read this morning. Lord, would you help every hearer today see you as the Father that you really are? Father, for your children, first of all, could you allow them to see you as the Father that you really are, to where they would just want to talk to you? They would want to come to you. And if they've been hindered by the accuser, hindered by Satan in any way of approaching you, would you allow them to see you as the Father that you are, so that they would come to you
nothing wanting. Help them to see that even if they were just one of your servants, they would have a better life than they do without you. Help them to come to you as Father today. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not know you as their Father, could you allow them to see you as the Father that you really are? Enough to where they would turn from their own sinful way and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be born again and have you as their Father. I thank you, my Savior. I thank you, my Father. I thank you, my Master. I thank you, my Lord. I thank you, my friend. Manifest your glorious fatherhood in the lives of your children this very day. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's opened and made this wonderful door of opportunity that we might be able to pray to you and know you as our Father.